Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo in the studio on this, not rainy Saturday morning right now. Dick Newman has a Saturday off, and so we'll be talking with some of the Lacapral Valley Dawson Boyd coaches here in the next hour or so. Let's go through some football scores from the Southwest West District that we have here. Canby defeated Yellow Medicine East 28-6. State-ranked Bold, currently ranked number 4 in Class A. No trouble at Lakeview, 46-8. And Dawson Boyd picked up a win in Maynard the other night against McRae, 21-3. And a game you heard right here on Q92 yesterday afternoon. Mineota, ranked number 1 in Class A and undefeated, and defending state champs, defeated Lacapral Valley 67-0. And in the studio with us this morning is kick off the coaches show is head coach Tony Smith of the Eagles. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Well, the last 48 hours have kind of been a whirlwind for you with trying to be normal, play some football games. And what was it, Thursday night we were in Mineota?
Yeah, we spent a little time there getting acclimated to Mineota school. We had brought up the idea of moving it up from 7 o'clock to 6 o'clock to hopefully, if nothing else, obviously it's a school night, but on the other end it's like, okay, well, if it's supposed to be raining like they said it was going to be, this was a chance for us to maybe get out on the field and get started a little bit sooner, maybe not have as much rain falling before the game. And we got to about Taunton and got a call from their AD and said, hey, we're going to move it back a half hour. So we got to the school, got into the gym. The kids got their music on and they were listening and kind of walking around and doing a few things. And, well, that 6:30 turned into 6:45. Then it turned into 7. The music in the gym got a little bit louder, and I said, okay, so we're gonna start at 7 o'clock. And so we got everything ready to go, and about that time we got another call that said, hey, we're gonna have to move it back another 15-20 minutes. So they went back into the gym, and so I was talking, it was our coaching staff and their coaching staff kind of sitting around talking like, at what point do we decide enough's enough here? Because who's to say we'll even get, if we do get started, are we going to be able to get this thing in with lightning and having delays? And so the conversation kind of lent itself into let's find ourselves a time that we can drop it. So went in and told the guys. Well, as I walk into the gym, they're all in a circle, and they're all singing songs. It was like the choir was in the gym. It was actually very neat. Everyone's freshmen, seniors, they're all bonding together, sitting there singing the music. So it was entertaining.
I guess.
And then I had to bust out my one dance move that I do have.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And they got a good chuckle out of that. But
all right.
So we were sitting there and standing there talking, and finally it got to, we were going to have to postpone it, or got to 7:30 and like, okay, well, if we're going to do this, then let's maybe see if we can find another time. And so, excuse me. And as when we left, it was going to be, well, we've got a couple of options. One was 8 o'clock, Friday night. Another one was going to be 5 o'clock or maybe 2:30, location to be determined. Their AD did come back and say, there's no way that we could play on their football field. The conversation then came to, well, let's play it at Lacaparl. Well, we're supposed to host at home on the following Tuesday. Well, if we played that game on Friday night at Lacaparl, then we probably wouldn't be playing there on Tuesday. Yeah. So as the evening wore on and we got home, and actually as we left Mineota, there was another big bolt of lightning. which then would have pushed it back a little bit further. But I don't know, it's probably about 10:30, quarter to 11, we got a text message from Zach Stelter saying that we're going to be playing at 12:30 at SMSU. And, you know, it between finding officials, that was probably the biggest factor yesterday. Yep. Was being able to find officials, because obviously there was a bunch that were going to be working games Friday night, and then trying to figure out a way to get them early enough so that they could then go to a different game. That was a big factor there. And SMSU is hosting their homecoming day today against Northern State, so they wanted to start to get things set up for that. And so those were some of the variables that went into yesterday. And obviously it wasn't ideal, but and not today wasn't really an option either because of the MEA next week and being a short week.
Right. A lot of things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation, a lot of what ifs, a lot of hypotheticals, and we were able to get it figured out. And to be quite honest, maybe this was a very it was neat for the kids to go through kind of this process, keeping them in the loop. I know they were really excited about getting out of school, but we did try to make sure that they did touch base with teachers and reminded them that they got to make sure that they get their schoolwork done and taken care of. So we got on the bus and headed down to Marshall. We got there and it's hard to say if it was raining any heavier or any lighter from Thursday, but it just kind of felt like it was constant.
Constant, yep.
So we got out on the field, and it didn't take long before both teams were pretty well soaked to the bone. There was standing water on the artificial turf, and someone had mentioned that the Marshall area had close to 4 inches.
Yeah, they had a little over 4 inches.
Yeah.
A lot of rain.
That is a lot of rain. And so the game gets started. You know, before the game, we're talking about, hey, you know, this is a unique opportunity. You get to face the number one team in the state in this situation that it's in. And let's just go out. We know we got to take care of the ball, ball security. We know that they don't make mistakes. And when other teams make them, they capitalize. They find a way, and they have a knack of doing that. So that was the conversation on Tuesday. That was the conversation on Wednesday. That was on Thursday, and that was yesterday. Unfortunately, the things that we talked about, we weren't able to execute. And it starts with the opening kickoff, and we weren't able to. They pooched it kind of to our right side, and we weren't able to get a hold of it. And they got the ball on a fumble recovery, and what was it? 3 or 4 plays later, they had a touchdown.
Two
plays.
Yep.
And then we did get the next kickoff. Well, then on the first play, we had a 3 or 4 yard gain, and then we ended up fumbling it. They ended up scoring there. It snowballed, unfortunately.
A punt on the next series.
Yes.
First 6 minutes of the first quarter, kept blinking and hoped the scoreboard would change there, Tony.
Well, it was about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, and I looked up and I was like, is this the second quarter yet?
Just about everything that went wrong.
Yeah. For you, so. Yep. And, you know, they are the kind of the gold standard as far as this district goes, and how do you compete with that? It's going to take a perfect game. It's going to take, you know, breaks to go your way, turnovers to go your way, and we just didn't get off on the right foot, and you could see kind of some heads drop a little bit, and there was some frustration from the first group, and I know that they wanted to get out there in the second half and get some things going in the right direction, have some momentum, and we as coaches, we understood that, you know, they were frustrated, they want to get back out there, and that's what I think this group is. It's a competitive group. They want to get back out and try to do better, but we settled on going with the we call them, the Badgers, the second group, in the second half with the running time there. because you know what, we want to get them some wanted to get them some reps, get them the opportunity to run around out there yesterday afternoon.
And to play on a college football field that for the first time, that's, you know,
play on the turf.
Unique.
And, yep, have that opportunity. Yep. Unfortunately, the circumstances were what they were. But, you know, as I woke up this morning, hey, the sun's out, it stopped raining, we'll be fine. And I told the guys yesterday, we'll be fine. Where we want to be, you know, we're kind of, as we talked about last week, you start to look at, where are we in position as far as the section goes, and where can we put ourselves in a playoff position? And to be quite honest, you don't want to be in that 7 or 8 seed just because you end up with Boulder, Mineota. Yep. That 3 through 6 range, everyone's kind of battled each other fairly closely. And so we want to get ourselves in that spot. And I reminded the guys that, and that we're fine. You know, we have – our future is out in front of us. We got a couple of opportunities here to play some teams that we feel like we either have a chance to get to that second round on that Saturday afternoon. So we're starting to prepare for Lakeview and starting to get ready for them and on Tuesday night and I think we'll be ready. And one of the kids had mentioned, hey, you know, we have an opportunity here on Tuesday night. We got to come out and ready to go. And I felt like yesterday, you know, it's so difficult to practice Mineota's, you know, their precision and the way they get off the ball and their speed and just their movement that they have during a week of practice. And I think it caught us off guard. It put us on our heels, and we were never able to get going. Going on, you know, playing downhill, and we'd been doing that the last couple of weeks, and things, and then maybe that's why the guys were most frustrated, was they just weren't able to find that yesterday, and obviously you can't turn the ball over against a team like that, you know what, we'll be fine. We're back to the drawing board. We're excited for the upcoming week and the weeks to come.
Yep, that's right. I know coaches don't like to do this, but as yesterday after the game, I looked at what you've done so far this season, and you know, there's a lot of should've, could've scenarios that the football bounced this way or that way. You know, I looked at it as you could be easy 5-2.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the right bounce of the football and some of them close games. So, but that's from a fan's standpoint, I know coaches don't like to look at that way, but, you know, you're right there.
Well, we came into the season saying, you know, we just want to be competing in games, giving ourselves a chance, and we've done that. And unfortunately, we just haven't been able to get over that hump. The turnover bug has been hurtful to us this year, and you know, everyone's trying to go out there and make a play. Everyone's trying to do their best, and so I mean, those are things that we talk about, things that we work on. It's just we got to become better at the execution part of it.
Okay, so we'll just put that game in the back pocket then.
Okay. Yes, we'll put a wrap on that.
All right, and then you got credit to Coach Johnson and his coaching staff. They once again, they do it year in and year out, don't they?
They most certainly
top of the crop there.
Yep.
Okay, so MEA break next this coming week. Now you got a football game on Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll be hosting Lakeview on Tuesday. It's also our senior night. Volleyball's at home that earlier in the evening, so there'll be quite a bit going on that day.
Our Dig Pink night for the volleyball team and some.
Yeah, we're going to be trying to do it. We're kind of coordinating some stuff with a bake sale, I believe, and the money's going to be going towards the hospice in Appleton and hospice in Madison. So we're going to work together with them. So yeah, we're excited. Like I said, senior night, final regular season game. We'll figure out where we are probably about Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening. We'll find out where we will go for that first postseason game on that Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah, this is the last regular season game already. Man, it goes fast, doesn't it?
It does.
Crazy.
It does.
All right, JV done or junior high? How are they doing?
Yeah, JV finished up their regular season on Monday by going to McCray. And I believe the score was 12-6 or 18-6 they won. The end of the year with a 3-2 record, and they had two scrimmages. They had the scrimmage against Lakeview to start the year because you can't have a JV game before a varsity game. And then they scrimmaged that night down in Dawson because of the because we had to the JV game got rained out on that Monday. They moved it to Tuesday, and that turned into a half a practice and then going over and scrimmaging for half a game. So they ended up 3-2. Very excited about the numbers, very excited about the kids we got coming up. Junior high finished their home regular season on Tuesday night. They played McCray. I believe the seventh grade won 12-0, and the eighth grade lost, I believe, 20-6. So they have one more game left, and to add to all of the craziness on Tuesday, they actually go to Mineota on Tuesday night.
Okay.
So they will finish up their regular season on Tuesday night, although we'll have to see if how the field conditions are. Yeah. But so that's what that's going to look like for the lower levels. And like I said before, the numbers have been good, the participation's good, and excited to look forward to working with them in the future.
All right. Well, back to varsity just for a second. Just looking at the section standings after this week. This is a big game with Lakeview to stay out of that 7-8 spot. Right, Tony?
Correct.
And I think McCray is at YME.
McCray is at YME.
Yeah. And it just take care of business Tuesday and you'll be fine with the seeding then.
And Dawson plays
Mineota
plays Mineota, and Canby plays Bold. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's you're right. It is a big game on Tuesday night for us to stay in that 3-6 range. And
what's Lakeview have this year? Graduated a lot of people.
They did. I believe they still have like 10 or 11 seniors this year.
Okay.
But from what I've seen on film, they just don't have the size and the speed that they've had the last couple of years.
All right, Tony, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. And good luck Tuesday. And you'll hear that football game right here on Q92 on Tuesday.
All right, thank you, guys.
Hey, you just got one practice?
We got one practice. And actually, the guys are getting together either today or tomorrow to watch some film.
Okay.
And coaches are going to send them some information, some scouting report stuff for them to look at and review over, and they're going to get together. And then on Monday, and to add to the craziness, on Monday it's parent-teacher conferences out to the high school. So it'll be me and the guys, the players, because the rest of the coaches are high school
teachers.
So they'll be so we got a lot to get accomplished on Monday.
All right. Real good, Tony. Thanks for coming in. See you Tuesday.
All right. Thank you.
Head coach Tony Smith, the Lockbrow Valley football team. We'll take a commercial break. Talk cross country with head coach John Sherb after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, chuck roast 10% off, center cut pork chops 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk with head coach John Sherb of the Lacapel Valley Dawson Boyd Cross Country team. And good morning, John.
Morning.
You're out at practice this morning, huh? No rain.
No rain. We can finally get something done. We haven't been able to do much the last couple of days, as crappy as it's been, but we're going to try to get something done this morning to kind of get some of the kinks out of the body. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah, kind of, I suppose you didn't get much practice in with the rain, or did you?
We were able to get some in, but it was still tough to do. We got swimming in yesterday, thank goodness, because that was just a miserable day to try and do anything outside. So it's like we just did it that way and got a little running in, got swimming in, and got them that way. So try to make what you can with what you got. That's all you can do.
Okay. Well, how many meets did you have this week?
This last week we had one. Luckily, we caught our meet early in the week. So we raced on Monday at the Benson. Benson's got a nice course. I mean, nothing against when we go to Kirkhove and we run there on that Tuesday. The Kirkhove course is so rough. The Benson course is so much, you know, it's golfed a lot more. It's a lot smoother taken care of. So it's a good course, and I really enjoyed that area. It's well protected from wind. And the weather was cool, but it wasn't bad. So it was a good mix up there, and our kids really, you know, kind of found themselves a little bit with it. I'm always worried about Monday meets, scary things, but just our kids really ran well, a lot of spots, and time showed it, and it was good. Junior high girls, they ran a 3K course. Our top runner was to Ayla Hersham. She was 5th, 13:38. Aiden Bond was 10th at 15:02. Celeste Jenkins was 19th at 17:29. 7th, 8th grade boys, Matt Botham was just coming back from strep, so I didn't know how he would. He finished 5th with 12:08 time. They ran that 3K course. Max Botham was 26th at 15:35, and Aaron Wills 27th at 15:49. Varsity girls, they kind of flipped it. They actually started varsity girls and varsity boys first up there just because they had homecoming week, so they got them in. And it was a different test, but it was kind of nice for the kids to kind of get into a different. They weren't comfort guys sat around, so maybe that's, you know, another thing. The kids were a little bit more energetic. Chloe Glegge just is now starting to find herself a little bit, and she really put together a complete race, ran patient early, ran with some of the big girls who pounded, you know, the girls in front of her in the race. They had beaten her pretty soundly earlier in the year, and she's been kind of chipping away, getting back into that mental part of running complete races. And I thought she really put together, ran smart all the way through, and made a great finish. She won her first varsity race of the year, which was good to see her doing that. She's been really, you know, inconsistent with some of her races. But she, I think, is also personal best work. She ran 20:02, which is a first-place time. Bryn Glegge, her sister, little seventh grader, moved up to her. She finished 10th at 21:35. Brooklyn Starrett was 25th at 23:02. And then we had Taylor Wood at 31st at 23:37. Reese Oxendorf had probably it's her best race of the year, and looked very, very smooth throughout the race. That was good to see her kind of get into that little bit of that move a little bit. She was 36th at 24:01. Daytona Bissett was 39th at 24:25. Grace Vosick, we moved up onto the varsity just because I wasn't sure we were going to have her numbers, so we still have a complete team, have that buffer in there, and she ran really well. She was 40th at 24:29. Scoring-wise, Norman Spicer's girls won it, and we're just, again, we're not in that level. We're closing the level. We're just not with them right now. But they won with 39. West Central was 2nd at 70. Ainslip was 81, and we were 4th at 88. And Morris was 101, and Benson was at 135. So the kids ran really well and had a nice pack in there and kind of built off each other. And that's the thing, is now we're in that mode of challenging one another in races. If I can go, you got to go with me. You know, it's gonna, and they're picking that up, and we're having kids do that in the race. So that was a really good thing to see, and good finish for the varsity girls. Varsity boys, you know, it was gonna be. We knew we were gonna have some interesting teams we haven't seen in a while, and some teams that were also gonna be, you know, competitive in there. Gavin Carl ended up getting 2nd, time of 17:42. Looked comfortable, got out, and the kid from West Central kind of closed the gap, worked on him in the second half of the race. And it's that mental edge, and again, he's working on it, you know, after having a tough one in Monty. I thought he had a little bounce-back race there, looked a little more comfortable. Hopefully we can get him totally healthy. He's one's been under weather lately for us. Dane Clark was 5th, 18:14. Eli Hagelin was sixth at 18-18. That's Eli's probably one of his best races of the year for the season so far, so he's coming in the right spot. James Webber was 13th at 18-50. Luke Stock was 18th at 19-22, and that was a big drop for Luke. I want to say that's dropping 30 seconds off his personal best there, and that was a good move up there for the team scoring. Joseph Felton was 23rd at 19-36, and Cade Solom was 28th at 19-49. That was a solid, you know, him under 20, that was a good race for him to get into also. Scoring-wise, we ended up winning it with 44. Spicer was second with 52. Monty was 71. West Central, 89. Benson KMS at 155, Morris 162, Painesville 163, and then McCrea's 8th at 184. JV girls ran the 5K course, same distance as the varsity kids ran. Tegan Conroy, we talked her into trying a shot at the varsity, the distance, see if she could run a 5K, how it was, because she'd been running really well at the junior high level. Thought we'd give her a little bit of a different test. Looked very, very good. Patience early, kind of worked her way up into the other girls, found the other girls. She came down to a kick to win it. She actually had to lead, and the girl from Bold came up alongside her, and then she took off and took off down the straightaway. She won it, so it's her first, I believe it's her first cross-country victory she's had. I don't know if she won one at junior high as a seventh grader, but she was first at 23-29. Sadie Rosendahl, another one that went under 24 for the first time. She was fourth at 23-54. Makaya Poos was seventh at 24-15. That was probably the most complete race she has put together this year. Really, really looked comfortable and really, really got into the race and legs and everything else. I was talking about being a tall girl, getting a stride. She had a great stride and looked very comfortable, wasn't fighting herself. Alyssa Swinsky was 15th at 25-38. Shea Bothman was 17th at 26-01. Abigail Alonzo was 18th at 26-45. They actually did score they ended up for scoring for junior for JV girls. We ended up winning the JV score, which was kind of neat for them to see them do that. But we ran really well on that level to go up. JV boys, same distance as the varsity. Landon Keeman went 20-17. That's a PR for him by probably 30 seconds. He finished, just looked very, very good. He's coming out at the right time. Brody Nelson continues to make really big strides with his race, and he was 17th at 20-56. Charlie Will was 18th at 21-27. Brendan Sherb was 21st at 21-51. That's the first time he'd broken 22 minutes. Baxter Kolff was 24th at 22-44. And Hudson Giese was 31st at 24-22. JV did the score. We were also, we were at fourth in that one. So that was still good to see them scoring and going off that. So that was really nice to have that go on. So it was a good meet. I thought the kids really handled the conditions, really got into it, and hopefully this is going to build off for the next 2 weeks.
All right. What do you got coming up this week then, John?
Well, we got the conference meet on Tuesday at Canby. That starts at 4. It's going to be, kind of see where you're at in the conference. That's kind of our goal we want to try to get at. If we can win it, we want to try to win the conference, get as many kids all conference. We want to try to close out that last meet of the season as a team, because then, we get small for the section meet, so we kind of see if we can succeed that way. Girls varsity is going to be pretty much, early in the season, Canby was a different time zone where we weren't even close to them. Now we kind of got the Minox out. We can see them now, so that's an improvement we made over the season. So they're going to be heads and tails above everything else in front of it. We're going to fit in nicely in that. We've got a bunch of girls that have a chance to finish in that top 10 to be all conference, so that's kind of our goal, is to finish top 10 and see what we can do, how close can we get to that machine in front of us, and we'll go from there. Boys, we're going to be chasing Canby. Canby's boys have been running really well all year. We just have been always a step behind them. Hopefully we can close that step down to make things interesting. Who knows what will happen. We'll guess against kids that want to try to get all conference too. We got two or three kids, whatever we're thinking about, that could be all conference. I think they can be. It still is going to come down to who was ready to race at the right time at that moment on Tuesday. So it'll be a fun day. Hopefully the weather will finally start figuring things out a little bit, so we can actually have some respectable weather without the rain and garbage and the footing. But that'll be on Tuesday.
All right. Real good, John. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next Saturday then.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Head coach John Sherb of the Lockbaugh Valley Dawson Boyd Cross Country Team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
Here's a message brought to you by Olson Sanitation during Fire Prevention Week. Olson Sanitation, serving all of Lacaparl and Yellow Medicine counties.
Hey, it's Sparky the Fire Dog here. Fire can spread quickly through your home, leaving you as little as 2 minutes to escape safely once your smoke alarm sounds. Having working smoke alarms and a home fire escape plan can make a difference in escaping a home fire. The National Fire Protection Association and your local fire department want to remind you that it's Fire Prevention Week. Practice your escape plan. Visit firepreventionweek.org for more information.
Let's check out some things going on around the area this weekend. The Mineota Knights of Columbus will be hosting a pork chop dinner at St. Edward's Catholic Church in Mineota. That'll be from 4:30 to 7:30 this evening. Free will donations will be taken. All are welcome. There'll be a baby shower honoring Dan Olson, son of Roger and Julie Olson, and Lindsay Weber at the Madison VFW beginning at 4 p.m. today. They're expecting a baby boy. Come and go, celebrate, socialize, and enjoy some food. Public Square Rosary will be held at noon today. That'll be at the Madison Courthouse Lawn, Ortonville Courthouse Lawn, in the east side of the Holy Rosary Church parking lot in Graceville. Setting the table for hospice at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Canby going on today. 9 a.m. browsing of tables and silent auction. 10 a.m. brunch. 11 a.m. program. Tickets are $20 per person. Get them from the hostesses, Sanford Equipment, or Canby Drug and Gifts.
Pete's Electric Motor and Pete's Powder Coating in Mineota brings you this farm safety tip. Consistently educate your family and coworkers about safety practices, especially children. Make sure children are involved only in age-appropriate tasks. Conduct regular equipment inspections, as this act can prevent farm-related injuries by identifying problems and hazards early. This farm safety tip brought to you by Pete's Electric Motor and Pete's Powder Coating, County Road 3, Mineota.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lac Parle Valley Dawson Boy Girls Tennis with Head Coach Dr. Hacker. And good morning, Coach. How's it going this morning?
Hey, Paul. It's good. It's good. We're just doing fine here. So good to talk to you again. It's been a couple weeks here.
Yeah, well, you've been busy on Saturdays working, and you had a few tournaments and stuff. So
Tell us
how the girls doing.
Well, I'm going to catch up on a few weeks here, if you don't mind. We're going to go back to September 28th. That was our last regular season match. And that was our match up in Montevideo. Imani's a very solid team, but we were able to squeak out a win there, 4-3. Just kind of reminding everybody of our lineups, Hannah Oy has been playing one singles for us this year. She played tough against Brooke Lindemann, but ended up losing 6-1, 6-3. Brooke is really the top-ranked singles player in our section and in our conference currently. So, you know, Hannah knew it was going to be a battle, and she did a good job trying to play her game, but, you know, Brooke is just a better player at this point. So she ended up picking up a loss there. Kayla Jan played two singles, won a first set tiebreaker 7-6, and then closed the match out at 6-3 in the second set. Sadie Hacker played three singles, Elsie Weeby four singles, and both of them picked up wins at their position. They're both playing much more consistently at this point in the season. So, you know, at those lower down singles positions, that's very important and really helps out as far as getting things to go your direction. Kaylin Jorgensen and Gertie Sieg played a tough three-setter about 3 hours, 4-6 in the first set, and then they picked up a 7-5 second set and a 7-6 third set. Against a very tough Monty team there. So they did a very nice job, played really well. Alexis Olsen and Maya Virgi played her two doubles, ended up losing 6-1, 6-3. And Val Piotr and Jordan Johnson played her three doubles and lost 6-1, 6-4. You know, both the two doubles teams, Alexis and Maya, and three doubles, Val and Jordan, you know, did a good job. Each of their first sets were 6-1, and they both, I think, picked up their game, fought harder, and picked up a few more games in that second set, and that's really, you know, kind of what we're looking to do: stay mentally tough, try to adjust as best you can, and then try to pick up, you know, some points here and there. So they did a good job with that. Cameron Olson and Bree Borstad have been our exhibition players this year, and they came along and played an exhibition match over there as well. So it's been nice to have them with. Cameron's an eighth grader, Bree's a ninth grader, so I think it's good to have them along and just see that upper level play. You know, kind of what we're hoping they're at in a couple of years. So they've been doing a good job for us as well. And that wraps up our regular season, actually. That brought us to conference. Yeah, we played. Conference was going to be what was scheduled, you know, for the last Saturday in November or September there. And
that was up in Alec?
Yeah, that was an Alec, and you know, as has been the issue the last few years, it got canceled because of rain. So we've played two conference matches in the last 7 years because of weather. So
wow,
it's been a bad streak for us. You know, and it's fun to do because the kids get to go up there and play within their own flight. So instead of team competition as it is all season, you know, it's just all the one singles players from all the teams are in a bracket playing against each other. And then there's a conference champ and all the way down the lineup like that. So we did have a time since it was raining. The coaches had time to sit. And we're going to try to set up a rain out date if possible next year. So, you know, just so we can have a chance to get this in, which is really the goal. It's fun for the kids, and that's hopefully what we can do.
Right. So they just flat out canceled it then?
Yeah, we waited until, right, because it's so late in the season, there's really no opportunities to make up because immediately the following week we're playing, you know, sections, and nobody, you know, at that point, sections are, you know, just like other sports, it's what determines whether you make it to state or not. Nobody wants to be playing a conference tournament, roll an ankle, and then your player's out for your section play, which starts just a few days later. So,
So
at this point, yeah, it was done, and that was the end. That was the end of that. We got to go out for a nice, you know, meal afterwards, but we didn't get to play any tennis. So,
Alex got a good tennis complex too, don't they?
Oh my gosh, it's amazing! Yes, they've got 12 courts at the high school. They're beautiful. And then we've got another location that we play at 8 courts. So we've got 20 courts we're playing at, and there's no other, you know, communities in within an hour, 2 hours of us that have anything similar to that. So it's very nice of Alec to let us use their facilities. It's just we haven't really been able to actually take advantage of it very often.
Because of the rain.
Yes, exactly, because of the weather. So so we had a nice drive to Alexandria, and we were back middle of the afternoon. The issue there is, you know, if we don't start playing by about 11 or 12, we just don't have time to get it in. You know, that time of the year, it's dark by 7:30 at the latest, and it takes a good minimum 9 to 10 hours to get all the matches in.
Okay.
So anyhow, that moved us on to team sections, and that was October 5th. We lined up, matched up against Morris over in Morris. Morris is a very good team this year. We ended up losing 5-2. I think we had some good matches. We just couldn't get them to go our way. Hannah Oy, again, played one singles for us, had a tough match at one singles, 6-0, 6-1. You know, Hannah's had a great attitude, has worked hard, is working on the consistency and working on ball placement. You know, and it's a big step up. She played 3 singles last year, and at 3 singles, your goal is being consistent and working on developing weapons and some shot variety. And at one singles, you better have those things well developed, and those other players, you know, are going to be coming at you hard with those things. And Hannah's definitely improved her game over the year, but just isn't at that point yet where she can turn these into wins for herself. Kayla played 2 singles, lost a tough match in 3 sets, 6-4, 6-4, winning the first set, 3-6, and then 7-5, and could, you know, just played tough, was very upset. This is a player she'd beat last time we lined up against Morris. Morris did a good job with making Kayla hit the ball again and again and again, and she was, and you know, unfortunately in those positions, sometimes you can get frustrated and try to end the point when maybe that isn't the best shot. You know, it's a low percentage shot. You're going for it anyhow just because, you know, you're 10 or 15 shots into the point and you're looking for an advantage. Sadie ended up playing three singles. Sadie Hacker played 3 singles, picked up a 3-set win there for us, which was did really well. Again, these are all tight. Two tiebreakers, 7-6 hers, the first set, 6-7 Morris in the second set, and then Sadie closed up the third set at 6-3. Did a nice job staying consistent and just a good attitude fighting. Elsie Wiebe, really the same thing in 4 singles. First set tiebreaker at 7-6, picked up the second set at 6-1. Again, Elsie's done a really nice job for us this year. Again, just that consistency has really improved, and that goes a long ways when you're playing 4 singles. Taylan Jorgensen, Gertie Sieg, played 1 doubles, lost a tough 3-set match for us. 6-4, 3-6, 6-4 were the set scores. So all close, nothing was a blowout either direction. Definitely were pretty upset about losing that one. Alexis Olsen, Maya Virgie, played 2 doubles, lost 6-2, 6-1, and Val Pjatter, Jordan Johnson, lost 6-4, 6-3. So again, top three doubles match, just couldn't get things to go our way. So more, but credit to Morris, they did a good job. Brittany House is the coach up there. She's been there for quite, you know, 4 or 5 years at least now, if not more. Does a really nice job with the kids. And, you know, and like we've talked before, Paul, when other programs in your area do well, it just helps sharpen you, and it helps bring the whole level of play up of the teams in your section or conference. So it's nice to see, you know, Morris is doing well this year. McCray is doing well. Some teams that can, in the past maybe have not been consistently strong or had good years, but it's nice to see that. So congrats to Morris, and they went on and played individuals or played team sections then a couple days later, which ended our team season right there. And so things are wrapping up fast for us. We ended up playing individual sections this last Thursday down in Sioux Falls, and individuals is kind of a little bit of a different beast versus you know, we get two entries into our singles division or our bracket, and we get two entries into the double side. Kayla, Jan, and Hannah Oy decided to go as a double team, which makes a lot of sense. If you're maybe a first and second singles that didn't have a strong season necessarily, doubling up and going over into the doubles bracket might give you an advantage. So they were one of our doubles entries. On the single side, Sadie Hacker and Elsie Wiebe got pushed up from third and fourth singles into playing the singles bracket with other first and second singles players. So we knew they had a lot, you know, a lot on their plate. Sadie played the first singles gal from Pipestone and played very well, lost that first set in a tiebreaker, and then just had a tough time in the second set, losing at 6-0 in the second set. Ended up going down to the Pipestone one singles player, and that ended Sadie's individual season as well. Elsie Wiebe, very tough, tough draw, ended up going against Brooke Lindemann over the first singles player from Montevideo. She was the one seed in the singles bracket. We knew Elsie had a lot on her plate. She did get a game off of Brooke in the first set, 6-1. So, and Elsie had a great attitude, played hard. Brooke just moves the ball around really well and has a high level of consistency, so it's hard to make inroads into her game. Elsie really gave it her best shot, but it went down to Brooke over Pramani. And Brooke has advanced into the semis as well, so she'll be playing this next Tuesday as well. So good luck to her. Our doubles teams, Gertie Sieg, Kaylin Jorgensen, ended up facing off against YME in the first bracket. Gertie and Kaylin were a ninth seed playing YME as an eighth seed. They picked up a nice win there, going 6-4, 6-3. That put them up against the number one seed in the whole doubles bracket, Morris. And they played very tough. You know, just missed some shots when it mattered and maybe weren't playing their top-level tennis at the moment, but they ended up losing that first set 6-4, losing the second set 6-2, but gave them a really good battle, and Morris went on, you know, to win. And we'll be playing individual semifinals this coming Tuesday. Oy and Jan, Hannah Oy, Kayla Jan, ended up as the sixth seed based off against Morris in that first doubles match. They ended up winning 6-2, 6-4. Things were a little rough. They really were having a tough time, you know, finding their rhythm, finding their game, missing shots, you know, baseline and that net that they should be playing and picking off. That win got them into the next level, into the next round. They end up playing the three seed from Laverne, and we were the sixth seed, but Kayla and Hannah did a really nice job, played a really clean doubles match there. They ended up picking off Laverne 6-2, 6-1, so congrats to them, and that got them into the semifinals next Tuesday. We'll face off against Benson, who is probably the strongest team in that doubles. They lost four doubles teams. Monty and Morris also have some teams there, so... We'll give it our best shot. We're doing some practicing this weekend, and we'll head down there Monday night and play at 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
All right, real good, Dr. Acker. Appreciate the report on the tennis team this morning. We'll talk to you next Saturday then.
Yeah, thanks much, Paul. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, that's Coach Acker. We'll take a break and visit with Coach Brooklyn Gould of the volleyball team right after this.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday the 13th of October through Monday the 16th in Theater Number 1. It's The Hill, rated PG. That's The Hill in Theater 1. Hell over for the final weekend in Theater Number 2. Paw Patrol, the mighty movie, rated PG. That's The Hill in Number 1. Paw Patrol in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lacaparral Valley Volleyball with head coach Brooklyn Gould. Good morning, Brooklyn.
Morning, Paul.
Well, you're kind of busy this morning. Volleyball again on Saturday, huh?
Yeah, there's not much of a break at the end of the season. It feels like there's so many things going on the weekend.
Yeah. Tell us what's going on at Lacaparral Valley this morning.
Yep, there's the alumni tournament out there. So I think they have 7-8 teams playing. So Seafood Varsity is expected to kind of run the show when it comes to reffing and stuff. So hopefully we don't get too much backlash from the alumni.
Well, that's a great event. A lot of Lacaparral Eagle alumni show up, huh?
Yeah, it is really nice.
Good. Well, have fun today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let's talk about your volleyball team this past week.
Yep, so we went off of having 3 games last week to having 3 again this week. So my girls are a little tired. We got out of practice a little early yesterday. There's a lot of girls sniffling. So on top of being busy with volleyball, they're also all getting a little sick. So hopefully they're resting this weekend. On Monday, we played Wheaton. We ended up taking a win in 4 sets. One set, it was rough. There was kind of no communication. I try to talk to our girls all the time, and, you know, that fire and the communication is such an important piece of volleyball. It helps with momentum, and without talking to one another, there's not really much strategizing when you can't talk to one another. But during that game, so it was nice to take a win home. We had kill leader-wise, Jalen had 13, Brandy had 10, Callie had 8, and then Jada had 7, Caitlin had 3. And then we were able to get Shayla Meyer and Kate Alstead in, and they haven't been in yet this year, so it was nice to see the girls getting in and our starting players giving them enough lead so those girls could get that opportunity. And then assist-wise, Caitlin Kittleson had 25, Abby had 9, Jalen and Brandy both had a block, and then dig-wise, Claire led us with 22, Jalen had 16, Caitlin had 13, Brandy had 11, Jada had 10. Aces-wise, Abby had 5, Jada, Claire, Caitlin all had 2, and then Jalen had 1. Some of these girls stepped up that game. Like Claire and Jalen had high numbers digging in the back row, even though we went 4 sets. So they're hustling in the back row, which is nice. Caitlin staying in the 20s, 30s assists every game, it seems like. So we're getting kills, and Caitlin's been the main setter the last couple of weeks, so she's doing really good as well. And then we went to KMS on Tuesday. We lost in 4. The games that we lost in were 17, 19, and 21. So we were competing with them, which was really nice because KMS isn't that bad of a team this year. Kill-wise, Brandy led us with 12. Jalen had 11. Callie had 7. And then Caitlin had 4. And Claire, Abby, Jada had 3. It's kind of crazy seeing Claire with kills just because she is our libero. But she is so smart when it comes to like tossing free balls over. She'll put them right by the net on the setter, so she does get quite a few kills looking with that. So we always hyping her up about that. Assist wise, Caitlin had 25, Abby and Claire both had 5, blocks, Jalen had 3, and then Callie and Brandy had 1. Dig wise, Claire had 23, Caitlin had 18, Brandy and Jalen had 10. And like Caitlin too, you know, Caitlin's our setter, and her digs are always up there too, and that shows something, because like as our kind of our only setter, setters kind of don't, they just want to set, they don't worry about defense a lot. So Caitlin, that's showing that Caitlin is prioritizing defense before setting, which is awesome. She She's super scrappy. And then CMCS, we went there on Thursday, and we lost in three. Abby Omlin was actually out sick, so that was something that was kind of thrown into a loop for our team. So we had to have Shayla and Carson play for varsity. And honestly, it went really well. Like, it's hard to get mad at them. You know, that first set, it was 12-25, but we had absolutely no fire whatsoever. And then the second set was 22-25, and then third, 17-25. And CMCS is a great team this year. So it was nice, like, being able to compete with them, you know, even though we didn't have all of our starters there. So I think the girls are kind of realizing how important, you know, a fire and, like, supporting one another is for a team, you know. So I'm hoping, you know, we go into play TMB on Tuesdays, and then we start sections. And I'm hoping they're just really, they understand that they're a good team. It's just, you know, you got to fit those pieces in together, and it starts with talking.
That's right. Yeah, I always look at some of your social media posts, the pictures, and there seems to be a lot of enthusiasm out on the floor. Yeah. Girls can get pumped up at times, huh?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and that's just how I am as a person. You've seen me on the sidelines. I'm jumping up and down and stuff, too. So it's like, when I look back at those pictures, it's like, you know, it just, it makes you proud as a coach seeing them, you know. And it's just having that passion and that love and that excitement every single, like, throughout the whole game. That's just, if that's what we could do, I'm excited to see what we can do during section.
Yeah, you mentioned you pulled up a few younger girls this week, huh?
Yeah, so Shayla Meyer, she got a varsity jersey the end of last week. And against Wheaton, we had a good enough lead where I felt comfortable putting some girls in. But and then against CMCS, I didn't, with Abby gone, I had to play Shayla and Carson, and they did awesome. I gave them both player of the game because they were, like, two of the girls that didn't make any mistakes. So it was really, it was good for them, a good experience, and I'm glad they got the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, some of your regular girls, your starters are putting up some stats and playing well.
Yep. Okay. It's just finding our flow together, I think.
Yep. Passing is everything in volleyball, isn't it?
Yes, it really is.
Yep. Okay, well, Brooklyn, how'd JV do this week? You know, you got that off the top of your head, or?
I think, so on Monday, C-Squad and B-Squad won, and then Tuesday against KMS, C-Squad had won. JV kind of struggled a little bit, but KMS has got a good younger couple teams. I'm a little worried for the future of KMS as an opponent. And then against CMCS, I know JV did struggle because they didn't have Shayla or Carson, and they're some pretty influential players on the B-Squad team.
Yeah, good. I saw, a Snapchat or whatever, but you guys are opening presents, sitting around in a circle on the gym floor opening some presents. What was that about?
Yeah, so, I try to be a coach that's just not about skills of volleyball, you know. So we do a lot of, like, team bonding kind of, Brooklyn 101 life lessons kind of stuff.
Okay.
So
okay.
We decided to do Secret Sisters this year. So every Friday,
nice.
We're giving gifts of Secret Sisters, and we're going to do that till the end of the season.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Yeah.
You got to do some team bonding outside of volleyball, don't you?
Oh, for sure.
Yep.
For sure.
What do you got coming up this week then, Brooklyn?
So we play TMB on Tuesday, and that is our last game, and it is a Dig Pink night, and we're actually collaborating with the football team on Dig Pink. So C-Squad starts at 3:45, B-Squad's at 5, and Varsity's at 6, and then the football game's at 7. So all of the money that we make off the Dig Pink shirts, we're also doing a bake sale at both places. We're going to donate it all to the Madison and Appleton Hospice Program.
Mm. All right, that's Brooklyn Gould of the Lacapaw Valley volleyball team, and that wraps up our coaches' show for this Saturday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Awesome.